3日目の会見です。
We've set aside a bit more time today to allow a bit more scope for questions specifically from our Japanese friends. Just give me a second. I'll find my piece of the paper. Okay. What I propose to do is, first of all, see where I can expand on the outline that we have circulated. We are now starting to get report backs from groups that have been underway the last few days. We've listed the groups that are still meeting. Of the ones where we had report backs on business mobility, we just had a day's work, still pretty early stages in that that chapter, further inputs yet to come in the lead up to the next round. What else we listed? Customs, pretty good progress towards achieving consolidated text. They likewise are looking for further inputs ahead of fifth round. I think from what I heard, we're now looking at reasonably well developed text in about a third of the articles in that chapter. In fact, I think the chief negotiators concluded that on the strength of progress in that group, they'd be spared the obligation to take a bungee jump. there were threats being made, and was it plenary jump, was it? That the laggards would have to take the big bungee jump off the tower if they can't deliver results. So anyway, Richard Barge, who was chairing the Customs Group for New Zealand, has been saved from the bungee. There we go. What else have we got? Cooperation and capacity building. Again, at a relatively early stage, naturally enough, I guess considering that Malaysia has joined the group at a fairly recent point and Vietnam has only confirmed in Yokohama that they would be a full participant in the negotiation. I just add that part of the process in the discussion on cooperation and capacity building is looking at specific requests for support in the form of capacity building, either for the negotiation itself or beyond that. So in that group, we're not particularly deep into text at this point. And then finally, I haven't mentioned it on the list we've circulated, but we've heard back from the legal and institutional group. One of the things of particular focus for that chapter is how we deliver on our goal of making TPP a living agreement. In other words, how we can ensure that over time the agreement can adapt to accommodate new members and respond to new issues. So that's one area of focus for them. They've been doing a fair bit of work on text, but still, as with other chapters I've mentioned, looking for further textual inputs ahead of the next round. So those are the main chapters. Beyond that, there's been a lot of work over the past 3 days in the horizontal group. They've completed most of their work. As a general comment, that strand of work in the negotiation is getting a lot of attention from the chief negotiators. For reasons we've discussed the last couple of days, the horizontal agenda is a new area. It's something that's rather unique to TPP and will be central to our success in delivering on the regional integration goal that we've set ourselves. It really will be a test of whether we can make TPP truly deliver for business. We've used a bit of a hybrid process the last two or three days. For some of the sessions we've they're meetings of the negotiators for horizontal issues, but I think in the majority of sessions we've had we've invited in industry people, selected industry people who have technical expertise to offer on the particular areas of interest. For example, yesterday afternoon there was a focus on supply chains, which, as I think we discussed yesterday, are pretty critical for each of us as we operate in a regional economy. You know, we have not just major suppliers, but in many cases niche suppliers of goods or services scattered around our economies. And access to the regional economy depends very heavily for those guys on whether you can make supply chains work, not just for the big guys, but also for the little guys. So that's an area of close interest. We also had an interesting session this morning. I was able to sit through part of it on regulatory coherence, where we're looking not just at the bottom-up inputs from business about, you know, why we need to do better in this space, but also trying to do some top-down thinking about what that might mean for the architecture of a TPP agreement as it relates to an approach to regulation right across the agreement. And there were some very interesting presentations from some of the invited industry reps. We had a mix. We had someone from the TPP Business Coalition in the United States. We had Toll from Australia, who run major logistics operations, not just in Australia but in the region. We had a medical technology speaker. We had John Barker from the from New Zealand Wine Growers talking about the really interesting experience in the World Wine Trade Group, which has, I think, been a great example of how government-industry coordination can deliver results that really do work for business in terms of getting costs down and you know, taking out unnecessary regulatory impediments while still preserving space for governments to regulate in areas of particular policy interest. And in the wine case, obviously, there are a lot of quite sensitive policy interests around alcohol content and the like. So that's been a great example over the last decade, I guess, of what you can achieve in a sector by applying the sort of principles that I think we're wanting to apply more broadly in the TPP initiative. So it's still fairly early days in this horizontal process. As you'll gather, we're still working to get industry inputs, but from what I'm seeing, it really holds lots of promise and makes me optimistic that we will be able to come out with something that is pretty special and takes us a significant way down the track towards our integration goal. That's all I wanted to say by way of introduction. I think we were going to give our Japanese colleagues first bite at the questions, and then I'm quite happy later on to come back to those other points I've just flagged. Who'd like to lead off?
Excuse me. Yep. Horizontal issues.
Yep.
So you said it's quite unique and new. So do you know any other similar category in the present FTAs or any other international economical agreement?
Well, it's how to explain that. We have. I've made the contrast in the past with European experience, where obviously they are regulating right across the EU, but they're doing so in a prescriptive fashion through regulations that are set in Brussels. We have also, tackled some of the same issues bilaterally with Australia under what we call the CER agreement. But this is really our first experience of trying to put together quite an intricate regulatory agenda that might go beyond a conventional FTA structure across the Asia-Pacific region. That's new.
Regarding the horizontal, there is a certain body in the United States that is called OIRA,
sure.
OIRA, which cover all AI regulations. Are you looking at that kind of body should be set up in each country, or can you explain that?
Well, the reality is we already have similar bodies in a number of TPP countries. I don't know the situation in all of them, but in New Zealand we have a body, I think it's called IRA, RIA, it handles regulatory impact assessment, and that's based in the New Zealand Treasury. So all new New Zealand legislation or regulations has to be accompanied by a report that is submitted through that process. And if you look at the New Zealand Treasury website, you'll see they've got up there the reports and indeed the actual regulations or pieces of legislation. And Australia has a similar practice. Britain, they have a similar mechanism. Canada has a very well-developed mechanism in that space as well. I'm not so familiar with practice in other TPP capitals.
But are you looking at recommendations of that kind of body should be set up?
I don't think we're at that point as yet. But I guess the point is that there are, in some TPP capitals, there are institutions which are already focusing quite closely on the quality of regulation and how it achieves the best balance between policy objectives and sensitivity to business needs, including cost and efficiency.
So when you, the day before yesterday, you talk about soft convergence, unlike EU style, I came up with the idea that this TPP might be looking at the coordinations or harmonizations of each regulatory bodies. Is that correct? You try to harmonize, or you try to mutual understanding or something?
It's still very early days. I mean, there are a number of ways you can approach this. At one extreme, again, I use the Brussels example, is you know, hard rulemaking right across the group.
Does, yeah.
The other extreme, I guess, is existing APEC practice, where you have a very lively policy debate that goes on through the various APEC committees. And I think we have seen a degree of convergence in policy and regulatory approaches just through the sharing of ideas in an APEC context.
Right.
Now, in between that, we have what's another good example. You know, we've done a number of things with the Australians, which range from joint institutions for food standards. We have a joint Australian-New Zealand Food Standards Authority. In some other cases, we just make an effort to move towards more consistent approaches to regulation in certain policy areas.
Could you see something like the New Zealand Australia Food Standards Authority? Could they all be used as a model for what might be going wider TPP?
I think it's, to be honest, too early to make that call. The political reality is that, you know, every government tends to be attached to its own way of doing things. I don't know how much appetite there will be for moving towards joint institutions, and I don't want to set hairs running on that. At the end of the day, I think there is more interest in outcomes. In other words, what works for business while preserving space for government to do the policy things they want to do, than there is in how we get there. And I think the slightly more informal Asia-Pacific way of doing things is going to be more promising than the Brussels model.
Are you planning to issue new chapter on this regulatory coherence area?
Again, it's very early days. The focus at the moment is, why we need new approaches, and I guess we're seeing just the beginnings of discussion about what that might mean in practice in an agreement. But it's this area of work. It's new. We don't have FTA models that we can simply sort of pick up and build in.
In the beginning, you said the text of one third of article chapters are.
That was specifically in customs.
In customs.
Yeah, about a third of the articles are now reasonably well. How should I put it? We're close to having consolidated text, which means we've had inputs from everyone who wants to provide inputs.
Can you elaborate more?
Not on the substance, but just in terms of what it means. The way you work in a negotiation like this is that you may start by discussing concepts or approaches, but ultimately you need to capture your commitments in the form of text, and the way you do that is to get draft text provided by those people who want to provide it. You build that into a draft, and then you start the work of refining that down towards agreed text. So what I'm saying in the case of the customs text is that in about a third of the articles, we've now got, I think, most of the inputs that we were looking for from around the nine countries.
How many articles do you have?
That's not said. I think typically you'd be looking at 14 or 15 in a customs text. But if you look at FTAs involving the different TPP countries, you'll see different numbers depending on which one you look at.
Is there any mentions which mentioned about Japanese participation possibility so far?
No, we haven't, to be honest, had a discussion as yet on the question of participation and membership. We'll probably do that later in the week, because we need to have a talk about the outcomes from Yokohama, in particular the APEC leaders' decision on giving more concrete form to the goal of developing a regional FTAAP. But no, we haven't had that discussion yet.
Okay. I don't mention any particular countries, but there is some demands that want to exclude. I'm talking about tariff issues. Exclude like sugar or dairy product. There are sensitive issues. Mm. Is that possible for Japan to come into negotiation with that kind of exceptions?
I really don't want to make policy in front of a microphone, but I can make a general comment, which is right from the start, this group has set out to achieve a genuinely high quality and comprehensive agreement. You're familiar with what we achieved in the original P4. We continue to see the P4 as the benchmark in terms of quality. And I think what has been very striking over the past year is that the strong position we have taken on quality does not seem to have deterred other countries from taking an interest in TPP. I think, on the contrary, I think the evidence now is that in holding out for a comprehensive and high-quality deal, it has just reinforced for other countries in the region this is serious, and that this is an initiative in which others should be taking a very close interest.
Will you be having that miss the Japanese officials that are in Wellington this week or next week? What will we be telling them with respect to that? I mean, is that the message that you'll be giving them, that there are no exceptions?
Well, there's been a series of contacts with Japan, as you know. I mean, the PM saw Prime Minister Khan in Hanoi, and there were further contacts at ministerial level in Yokohama. And I think you'll know from previous coverage that New Zealand ministers have been very consistent on that, and we obviously will carry the same line at officials level.
Can I ask about the architecture issues that usually this sort of regional FTA, the MFN style is a common, MFN is most favored nations, but I've heard that in case of TPP, the condition might be slightly different from bilateral to bilateral, there's a possibility like that. This is a kind of discussion about architecture itself. Is there? Can you comment on that? Which way the discussion is going now, right now?
What specifically in relation to MFN?
For example, if Malaysia open a market, so daily, for example, then they have to implement it all over the other, equally they have to implement it to the other members. But in case of TPP, because there's already bilateral agreement in each other, so the condition might be slightly different to the nation to nations. Like Malaysia, United States different, Malaysia, Australia is different. Is that possible? It could possibly be like that?
Yeah, I don't know that I want to go into that much detail, but
can you get my question?
The general principle, which is the important one, is that in TPP, we are very fixed on the need to get an agreement that delivers on the goal of regional integration. Now, that will take time, but it does mean you need an agreement that is true to that spirit of regional integration, not just a collection of bilateral deals. It needs to be one agreement that works for all the members. So if your question is, are we going to be just stapling together a set of bilateral deals, no.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the preferred approach
of the US? How to respond? You've seen public comments from a number of the countries in the group. What I'm talking about is the end point to which we are aspiring, and it's still pretty early days in the negotiation. I think the test ultimately will be the results we come up with. Speaking from a New Zealand perspective, we're very clear about what we need in an agreement, and we're pretty confident we'll get there.
How about the method of discussions? Are you going to decide anything with participants of all nine nations, or you are going to bilateral, and you are going to pile this kind of discussion? The method of discussions.
Yeah, look, we're trying to be practical here. The reality is that four countries at the table already have FTAs with the United States. They already have a pretty good understanding of each other's issues. So for those of us who don't already have an FTA with the United States, there's a bit of catch-up to be done. But in any process of this sort, you have a mixture of group, plurilateral discussions and bilaterals. We're certainly doing that in TPP, and we're perfectly comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm. You said in the agriculture group in reported back from these negotiations. And you say, have you had a report back from them?
No.
Does that apply to the tariff issue? I mean, the plurilateral and bilateral at the same time. Do you do that book to discuss the tariffs as well?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there are some things where you work as a group, and others where you can have bilateral conversations, and there can be quite a lot of overlap between the two. But as I say, we're just trying to be practical here, and there is an element of catch up for those of us who don't already have deals with the United States. It's not just the United States we're talking about. I mean, New Zealand has FTA relationships with all the ASEAN members of TPP, so Malaysia, Singapore, Brunei. We don't with Peru, we don't with the United States, so we'll be having a bilateral conversation with Peru, as well as with United States, and so on. It's just a practical way of starting, but our sights for the long term are firmly set on something that works as a regional integration deal, a true regional integration deal.
So actually you are discussing about tariff.
Sorry?
His question is, are you discussing about tariff issues?
One thing I should make clear, I think we touched on this earlier in the week, the way a regular FTA negotiation is sequenced, you start talking about the rules, you know, about the text.
Right.
And then tariff stuff comes further down the track.
Yeah, Matt, sorry, I just wanted to ask, I know this sort of being focused on tariffs and things, and you can't sort of answer those questions just here. I'm just wondering if you seem to know if this, in the services side, if there's any particular services that have been seen as particular interest that you want to make progress on during these negotiations?
No, same point applies. We're essentially talking text at the moment. If you look at the structure of an FTA, you get the main text for services or the main text for goods, and then you get schedules which set out the specific commitments, or the tariff schedules or the government procurement commitments or whatever. So we're not at that point as yet.
So I guess if you've got certain people like FedEx and you've also got toll here, I can imagine that some of the discussion going around transport. So I guess that's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, there may well be, you know, chat on those things around the coffee cups, but no, we're not negotiating specific commitments or tariffs at this point.
What would the text on goods be about if you're not talking about tariffs?
Oh, well, I haven't got an FTA with me, but if you look at the text of any of Japan's FTAs, you know, with ASEAN, for example, or the... you know, New Zealand, China, or Australia, US, there is a goods chapter, and there are certain standard provisions in it. I think we've offered a background briefing tomorrow on what's involved in negotiating an FTA, and Alison, I think, would be happy to take you through that if that would be helpful.
In these groups, these work streams, where would investor-state disputes come up? Would it come up in, among a number, or would it be in... I don't see investment there, for instance. Is that...
We're kicking off on investment. I haven't got the program with me. So, can you remember, Joe? It's this afternoon, is it?
Yeah, it's nice. It's
so that's where that would come up.
If you're talking investor-state disputes, that's part of an investment chapter.
Is it true that there's text on that where there is brackets around investor-state disputes, whether or not these are going to be part of the talks?
Look, to be honest, I haven't looked at the current version of the investment draft. But I've said before, investor-state is obviously part of the agenda. That's been the case for some time.
So there might be an update on that tomorrow.
Let's be careful there. I'm trying to be as helpful as I can on progress within chapters, but I think there are limits. I understand your interest in this, and I'm not confident I'll be able to give you the sort of detail that you might be looking for, now, to be honest.
I was just going to point the fact that it has started, and we have included that in the statement we've just given you on the third page.
Oh, okay, yeah. Last question.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm still not clear, what would be announced or presented at the end of this week, the end of the round.
Okay, well, I'm afraid, Nigel was there last week, but we gave a background briefing in Wellington. We're at a stage in the negotiation where we're still primarily focused on filling out the draft text, and what happens there is you get inputs from everyone around the table. You end up with a lot of words, a lot of brackets, and then you slowly start to grind away to see if you can take out the brackets and move towards agreement. And that's essentially where we're at this week. So I don't think there's going to be anything. I don't think so. I mean, I'm trying to make it more interesting for you, but that's this is the grim reality of trade negotiations at this stage. It's just hard grind and a lot of fairly boring work. Thank you all. We'll be back tomorrow at 2:00.